The Sunday Grill on Beat 102-103.
It is Easter Sunday. You are listening to Beat 102-103. My first guest this morning heard the iconic words,
"You're fine,"
from Lord Sugar this week. Maura Rath was one of a double firing on The Apprentice during the week. Maura, of course, is from Wexford. And we don't just share our county together. We share an inability to disguise our emotions on our face. And Maura joins me on the Sunday Grill this morning to take us through her experience on the iconic series that is The Apprentice on BBC. You're very welcome, Maura.
Thank you, Orla. Great to come on and chat to you. Happy Easter.
Oh, really happy to talk to you, Maura, and especially to talk about our joint ability to show people how we're really feeling by just raising our eyes or opening our mouths.
Oh my gosh. Honestly, I couldn't hold my facial expressions. I don't know if I honestly forgot that I was being filmed or what, but some of the stuff that went on, I'm getting so much commentary from a lot of Irish people saying your facial expressions are exactly what I was thinking.
Exactly. Yeah. And perhaps it is a really Irish thing to just think this is madness and not being able to say it, but really being able to show how you felt.
I think so. I couldn't help myself. I'm very expressive. And, you know, some of the stuff that went on, it was absolute madness. But you know what? I was raging that I was, to be completely honest, I was raging that I was fired, because I do feel like it was an unfair firing and he missed out. He made a big mistake.
And a double firing as well.
Yeah. Honestly, and Raj, who was fired before me, she was a project manager and one of my really good friends in the house. And I think that honestly, he made a mistake on both of us, and it should have been the other two.
Especially since the two of you and Raj, really had sense almost behind you, didn't you?
That's it. We had passion.
Yeah.
And maybe my passion is being read as being, it was told to me it was frantic. But you know what? My family have watched the show now and they're like, "No more. That's you. It's passionate." So if he doesn't want a passionate business partner, I'm like, that's your loss.
That is his loss. Exactly. Week 9. That is no mean feat, though. We only have 3 weeks left. You have done so well. Will you take us back? Because, you know, we know you as Yoga with Maura, but you were part of the corporate world once upon a time.
I was once upon a time. God, it feels like another lifetime. Many years ago, you know, I'm doing my business and teaching yoga since 2017. So it's not that long ago, I suppose. But I was working in an insurance firm in New Zealand, a couple of different firms for a good many years. And you know what? I worked with great people, but it was just the paycheck. Get me in, get me out, get me to my yoga class. So, you know, I've done that. And that being said, it's really interesting. I was just saying to someone, "Oh, I'm leaving my 9 to 5. To work for myself." Little did I know, 9 to 5 is the dream. Now it's 24/7. You're working for yourself. It doesn't stop. But I love what I do, which is amazing.
Which is amazing. And really, your passion really showed through the pandemic, didn't it?
Yeah, like, you know what, I love what I do and I feel like yoga is making a difference in people's lives. I have an online yoga studio and my community have been with me every day almost since 2020, and I'm just very grateful that I get to do what I love every day. So even though The Apprentice was a wild experience, and I love my job before that, but when I got out of the UK and back in Ireland, I was like, yes, this is where I'm meant to be.
So tell us about that experience. And what was that first step that made you think, "I'm going to apply for this"? Was it a very brief moment, or was it a more calculated moment that it was something that you thought you'd always go for The Apprentice?
Well, it was a more calculated moment. It wasn't that I wanted to go for The Apprentice. To be honest, I never really even watched The Apprentice. I knew what it was about. But I'm at a stage in my business where it's ready for growth, and for growing your business, you need a good cash injection. And then literally, I was just looking at my phone and I just seen, you know, who's looking for £250,000 investment. And I was like, I'm going to go and just apply for this, see what happens. And it's so interesting, Orla. When I applied, I just got this feeling. I was like, I'm going to get it. And I didn't get the investment, but I was on it.
Yeah, and I'm sure it has lots of different advantages as well, not just the investment. I have to say, some of the tasks are a bit cracked, aren't they? The cupcake one and the collecting of stuff in Jersey in particular stands out for me.
Honestly, cupcake, like, you know, we all, you know, it's so funny. Like, I have to say, that was the second task with the girls. And that one was just hilarious. I made over 200 cheesecakes and sold them in a market. But you know what? I have to say, I enjoyed that one. I enjoyed the ones that I get stuck in. Jersey, I enjoyed it in the moment, but I didn't enjoy the boardroom when I came back. And then I realized, oh my God, what, this must be a TV show, because the guys were lying and telling stuff that I hadn't done. But luckily, Lord Sugar believed me that week.
Lying. Even got to that amount that people would lie to stay on.
Oh, stop. You know, it's so funny. I don't know if it's like the Irish in us. You know, we definitely try and always speak your truth and do the right thing. And I believe in business, especially business in Ireland. We don't shaft people. You know, you work with people, you work together, you do your best. And I feel like we're a hardworking nation. So I suppose I was maybe a little bit naive that not everyone works like that.
Yeah, true. And like, does that mean you learned stuff about that sort of side of the business world, or is it stuff you didn't really need to know?
Yeah, definitely learned how to be more resilient, how to kind of protect yourself. And, you know, not everything is what you see, what it seems. But that being said, you know, I've learned a lot. I've learned that there's more hours in the day than I realize, getting up at 4 a.m. But I've also learned, I also met some incredible people along the way. You know, a lot of people are like to me, oh my God, how did you stand everyone? And I'm like, no, there was some really good people mixed among the show. So it was a great experience overall.
And when did you film this?
Last year.
So you're kind of watching at the same time as us then?
Yeah, I've never seen it before. Okay. I blocked it out of my memory.
And are you watching it every week as this your own series goes on?
Yeah, so every Thursday I'm having a little gathering with friends and family, which is lovely, and we're tuning in.
And you're okay with watching yourself?
No, I'm not. cringing at myself.
Well, I really think, honestly, you're one of the people to do the least cringing, because there was just, and a lot of it was the men. There was a lot of inflated egos, wasn't there?
Oh, definitely. Honestly, I'm a girl's girl. And even I have five brothers, work with guys, but the men on the show, I'm not going to, like, what you see, I think it's just so funny. I was like, am I the only one that thinks this is hilarious, that this is what people are saying about themselves? Yeah. Very funny.
Yeah, it's not very Irish, is it, to be blowing
your
own trumpet
like that? No, we don't
like
to talk like that at all.
No, we don't. And have you seen your Instagram followings and your business, like the numbers creep up as the weeks go on the series?
Yeah, it's been amazing for my business. You know what? People have definitely come on. I actually have Ashtanga yoga, which is like a 30-day yoga challenge kicking off, and you know, I've had loads of people sign up but were watching me on The Apprentice, so very excited for that. And lots of my yoga retreats have been filling up, so I'm very grateful overall. And I didn't expect that from the show, so it's been, honestly, it's been a real gift, and I have no regrets really.
And will you take anything from the show and apply it to your own business, to Yoga with Maura?
Yeah, definitely. Like, there's definitely, you know, working in a team. Like, I work by myself, but definitely when you're in a team and you're pulling apart ideas, like, it's amazing. So hopefully one day I do get a bigger team and I can do that. But the definite, you know, the way I run my business, I am really happy with. There isn't things I'm going to change majorly because it has been successful. But definitely I have learned, you know, that I don't know what I've learned really, that it was just a mad experience and that I really appreciate Ireland.
Yeah. And that there's a lot of different people in the world, isn't there? A lot of different personalities.
That's it.
Have you got someone you'd love to win?
Oh, you know what? I've got two, but myself and Rachel were really good friends.
Okay.
In the house. We used to actually go down at night and steal ice creams from one of the freezers that you don't see. So I really had a bond with her over ice cream and chocolate. So I'd love to see Rachel, and she's in the wellness industry. And then the guys, I love Trey. Trey's amazing. So if it was a guy, it would be Trey.
Okay, good stuff. Well, listen, congratulations on getting so far on BBC's The Apprentice. It's just been going on for so long. It seems like such a part of the television furniture these days. And it was great to see a Wexford woman do so well on it. And of course, so many Irish people have done so well. Jennifer Zamparelli, for example, on The Apprentice. So it's great to hear another Irish voice on it too. Are you going to be having another watching party on the final in a few weeks' time?
I'll definitely have to.
Are you done?
I'll definitely have to. Yeah. You might even see me popping up on the final. Who knows?
Brilliant. Brilliant. Fingers crossed. Well, that is Thursday nights on BBC at 9 p.m. You may see Maura then again, but in the meantime, that is Maura Rath from County Wexford. The latest firing, unfortunately, from The Apprentice on BBC One. And she is Yoga with Maura if you want to check her out on social media. Maura, thanks a million for talking to me this morning.
Thank you so much, Orla. I really appreciate the chat. Happy Easter.
The Sunday Grill on Beat 102-103.
Sophie Whelan is a 20-year-old student from Southeast Technological University, Waterford, and she's studying recreation and sports management, all while paying for her stage 2 endometriosis treatments, her medication, her travel expenses. She's from County Wexford. She's going to tell us more about her experience. And Sophie joins me this morning. Hello, happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you too. How are you?
Very well, thank you. You're very welcome to the Sunday Grill.
Thank you.
I've had lots of people in talking about endometriosis and their diagnosis. It's hard if you haven't experienced it yourself to get a handle on how debilitating it is. And you wrote in your email to us that it's one of the top 20 most painful conditions in the world. And that really hit me, because I think of all the different conditions that are out there, and to think that a gynecological issue that I hear so many women with experience something that's in that top 20.
I know, it's mad, and half the people don't even know what it is, never even heard of it, and yet it's in the top 20.
And you say not many people know what it is.
Yeah, so it's misdiagnosed 75% of the time. So people are presenting with these symptoms, and it's, to me anyway, because I'm diagnosed with it, quite clearly endometriosis. But a lot of doctors seem to put it down as, you know, oh, it's just period cramps, or just bad time of the month, you know. So a lot of people are kind of just getting pushed to the side and ignored, really.
Tell us your story then, because you say that you've kind of had issues like since you were a teenager, is that right?
Yeah, pretty much when I started my menstrual periods. So I was kind of late starting, so I was about 15, 16. But straight away, when I started getting my periods and my time of the month, I'd kind of noticed that it didn't seem like everybody else's. I had quite severe pains and nausea and vomiting, and I know a lot of people do have that with period cramps, but it just seemed not the norm. So about 2 years ago, my GP finally had referred me to a gynecologist, and within doing that then, my gynecologist looked at all my symptoms and was like, yeah, pretty sure that's endo. So I went through a whole treatment plan with him. He gave me the coil to try and help with period cramps.
And how long were you experiencing those cramps for, and that level of severe cramps before you started these sorts of treatments?
So it's kind of a constant 6 out of 10, 7 out of 10 pain on a daily basis.
Wow.
And then, as you can imagine, when it comes to your time of the month, it's worse. And I always struggled with, like, I had irregular periods the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
So my periods could go on for 3 weeks and I'd have a week off. And, like, that's not normal.
No.
And a lot of people are getting told, like, oh, that's fine, you know, don't worry about it. Which is kind of why my gynecologist, thank God, stepped in and was like, that's not normal. So 2 years down the line then, I kind of started questioning what was going on. And he had told me that if I wanted to get a surgery, I could. So it's a laparoscopy that we do in Ireland. And that's basically a keyhole surgery. So within the keyhole surgery, they go in, look for the endometriosis, and they burn it away. So I had my first surgery on the 21st of July.
Of last year?
Yeah. And that's supposed to last 2 to 5 years. Now, mine lasted 5 months.
Wow.
So I had another one on the 20th of December.
And was life completely changed in those 5 months?
Oh, completely.
No pain?
Oh, no, the opposite.
Oh.
No relief.
No yeah. relief.
So it was a very hard struggle, recovery-wise. It was horrendous. They sent me home with minimal painkillers, and it was kind of a, oh, you'll be fine in a week. And I couldn't walk for 2 weeks. I couldn't even roll over in the bed. And thankfully, I have a very helpful family, because I did need 24/7 around-the-clock care for about 2 weeks. And then after that, I kind of managed to start going to the toilet by myself.
Wow.
That sort of thing. So.
And you're so young, like you're only 20. So
yeah.
What has it stopped you doing?
So my main struggle at the minute has been college.
Okay.
So I'm in second year at the minute. But through first year, when I had started seeing my gynecologist, I kind of wasn't too bad. Everything was sort of being managed with painkillers and new contraception. Come second year then, I had had my first surgery. So I was still recovering from that. So that stopped me from taking part in the sport element of my course. Bear in mind as well, second year we learn how to be personal trainers and everything. Mm-hmm. So you're doing a lot of gym work, which I couldn't do. Then I had my next surgery then, December. So coming into second semester of this year, it's just been a disaster. With
and has that helped?
Not really, no.
You must feel so frustrated.
Yeah, and I basically got told from my gynecologist that he can't do anything else for me.
Wow.
So, like, I've had two surgeries. I've had the coil changed, so I've had that put in twice. I'm now on combined contraception, so I'm on the pill as well to try and manage pain cramps and the whole lot.
And does that help?
I found kind of the last couple of weeks it has helped a little bit.
Okay. Like, are you in pain right now?
Yeah, yeah.
What level of pain, like?
So I've after taken pain medication before I came in, so I'm on about like 5-ish.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Wow. It's hard to even, you know, we've all had those sort of monthly pains. Mm-hmm. And I know when I was a teenager, I really suffered from them. That, like you said, almost getting sick. But you just expect that to get better as the years go on. And at your age, when you should be really enjoying college, it must feel so debilitating. And especially since you're doing sports and recreation, as you said. Like, do you think about your future or?
Well, definitely, yeah. Like, beforehand, before diagnosis and everything and before these procedures, I would have loved to have gone into something purely sport-based. Mm. Maybe a little bit of business thrown in there. But now you kind of have to rethink your future and possible jobs, and because you can't guarantee that you're always going to be able to do these things. Even at the minute, I work in a pharmacy, like, and I wasn't able to work till now, pretty much since December, and that's just working in a pharmacy, let alone if you try to do anything active, you know.
Right. So, and you've been diagnosed with stage 2 endometriosis, and people experience different levels of pain and symptoms with the different levels that they have, but there's 4 stages. And is there a chance that you could build up to more stages, or do they hope to keep you at this level playing field, for want of a better word?
So at the minute there is the 4 stages, but there's actually no correlation between how much pain a person is in and the stage that they're at. Some people have what we call like silent endometriosis, and that is where somebody presents with no symptoms, but they might have a niggling feeling that something is wrong. I know a woman, I was looking at her posts, and she's kind of an influencer with endometriosis, and she had a surgery for hers, but again, presented with very little symptoms. So she would never have even known.
Wow.
Only for she had such bad fertility issues.
Okay.
That's where it kind of can come in, and people don't realise.
And it's inflammation, really, isn't that what it is?
Yeah, so I have the definition. So it's a chronic gynecological disease. And it's tissue similar to the lining in your womb, and it grows outside of the womb.
Wow,
it's been found on every major organ in the body.
Wow.
So it's even been found in people's brains and everything. Yeah.
Gosh. So you have a lot of expenses thanks to this.
Yes.
Yeah. and how do you deal with that then, as well as everything else?
Yeah, so luckily I have private healthcare.
Okay.
So, and my parents are very supportive with the whole thing, so they never see me stuck or anything. And I did apply for certain things with the college, and the college have been very, very helpful with that.
Okay.
Thankfully. But like, it is so, so expensive. If I didn't have private healthcare, firstly, I'd be waiting possibly years to be even looked at, let alone considered for a surgery. Like, I managed to get in for my surgery within a month of my doctor saying, like, right, okay, let's do this.
Brilliant.
Other people have to wait 2+ years.
Okay.
Which is mad.
But you are fundraising at the moment.
I am, yes.
And why are you doing that?
So I'm basically trying to take pressure off my parents.
Okay.
So my next stop is to go to London.
Okay.
It hasn't been confirmed yet, but they do a different procedure in London. And within doing that, then the procedure is supposed to have a higher success rate. So in theory, it will be better for me. So that money is to kind of pay for the procedure, for the follow-up appointments, the treatments after, medication. I'm going to have to stay in London for a week or two, because I won't be able to travel home with the state that I'll be in. So I'm going to have to pay for the accommodation and everything like that. So that's kind of where the money is going.
Okay. So you've already taken place in a walk, running 5K event in Tala.
Yeah.
You gave a portion of the proceeds to Endometriosis Association of Ireland. And we're also going to do a Hell and Back.
Yes.
You're looking for sponsorship for that?
I am, yeah.
That is no mean feat. Where is that on?
So it is in, it's on the way into Dublin.
Okay.
It's on the 8th of June.
Okay.
And it's an 8 kilometre.
Brilliant.
Race.
Is that in County Wicklow then?
Yeah.
In Kilroodery or somewhere like that?
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah, perfect. So you're going to raise funds by doing that as well?
Yeah.
Okay, good stuff. You've already raised quite a good bit of money, about just over 1 grand. But what are you hoping to aim for?
So originally I was starting off, I didn't think I was going to get any donations. And I was like, this isn't going to get any sort of coverage with anyone. So I was amazed, first of all, at the amount of people looking at it.
And
is
support.
Yeah. So I raised
1,250. Okay, good stuff.
And I had originally started with a 1,000 goal. So basically I'm just going to try and keep going. Based off that amount, then I will give a small portion to the Endo Association.
Okay, brilliant.
And then the rest of it then we'll have to pay for my treatments.
Okay, well, fingers crossed with that.
Fingers crossed.
When are you hoping to have the treatment?
Hopefully sometime in the summer. Okay. I don't want it to interfere with college too much.
Of course.
So fingers crossed.
Okay, good stuff. Yeah. Well, you are on Instagram and TikTok if people want to search your Endo Awareness 101, both on Instagram and on TikTok. And like so many people experience this and experience what's called the flare-ups. I see so many influencers even saying I'm going through an endo flare-up and trying to describe how painful that is. And like I said, I think it's hard for people who don't experience this to realise how painful this is. Mm-hmm. And especially as you're just 20, Sophie, and just starting off in your college life and your career, I really hope this treatment in London works for you
and
your future is bright. Thank you so much for coming in this morning. Those Instagram accounts as well, and that's where you'll find the link to the fundraiser, are Endo Awareness 101 on both TikTok and Instagram, and that's where you will find Sophie Whelan, who is a student at SETU Waterford, but of course is from the lovely County Wexford. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
The Sunday Grill on Beat 102-103.
Well, we've officially have an extra hour of daylight from today with clocks going forward this morning. Hurrah! Both the daylight saving hours can have a profound impact on health. It can even seriously disrupt sleep. Tom Coleman is a sleep expert and he joins me on the Sunday Grill this morning to tell us more. You're very welcome, Tom.
Thanks very much for having me.
People love to talk about their sleep, don't they?
Oh, we're obsessed with sleep. We love our sleep and it's so precious to us.
Now, you know the smartwatches, which I'm a bit anti because a lot of people talk to me about their stats on their smartwatches and I know if I had one, I'd get really addicted to it. But people love looking at the sleep on that. Do you agree with that or disagree with that?
It really depends on the personality type. Type A personalities need to back away because those guys are waking up in the middle of the night to see if they're hitting their sleep targets. And, you know, so I question the efficacy of the data because I know from working with very high-end technology, those wearables are not exceptionally good at telling us the finer detail when it comes to sleep cycles. Yeah. So it's just to be careful with them.
And when I hear people say, and I only had 2 hours of REM, I'm like, oh, should I know this? But I'm okay with not knowing it. What is the optimum? Like we hear 8 hours a lot. Is that really what we should be aiming for?
7 to 8 hours is what they tell us. And that would be about 5 90-minute cycles because you sleep in 90-minute cycles.
Okay. What if you get up and go to the toilet a lot?
That is reasonably okay because as we age, our sleep architecture changes and our bodies change and life happens, doesn't it? So it's absolutely fine. We can adapt.
Okay. Let's talk the hour going forward because there's nothing I like more than summertime and the extra hour that we got. And it's been a bit miserable, all the darkness and all the other stuff that we get in Ireland. But the darkness doesn't help when it's rainy and it's windy as well. Why do we have this? Why do the clocks go forward? Why do they go back? I know the EU has been trying to scrap this, but it just seems to be never ending.
Yeah. It does. It really does seem to be never ending. The concept was, I suppose it is, you can go back as far as Benjamin Franklin in 1784, and he suggested it was a way to save money on candles, right? That was the first kind of mention of it. Then we have a guy called George Hudson, who was an enthusiast at chasing butterflies, and he worked in the post office. And so he wanted an extra hour of sunlight so he could go chasing bugs in the evening time. Okay.
So he was pretty and then, powerful yeah. then, was he?
Well, not really. I suppose, look, it's been put forward by many, but it's been adapted then, I suppose, 1916 in Ireland, World War One. Germany began observing it, and the idea was to save energy. So in recent history, it was up for debate in the European Council, and they agreed, a vote was passed in 2018. But then, of course, COVID happened, and we forgot all about it. Okay.
So, and how would you feel about it, Tom? Would you like to see it scrapped?
Scrap it. It is very disruptive to our health in many different ways. Mm. So I would be a big advocate to get rid of it.
And why is it seriously impacting our health?
It's disrupting our sleep, and that has serious consequences if we look at it in terms of the population. So there was a study from the New England Journal of Medicine that showed a 24% increase in the risk of heart attack on the Monday after the springtime change. We know that it impacts things like car crashes as well. So fatal car accidents in the US, there's a spike following that Monday, because we've lost out on an hour, and reaction times and everything else are down. It's been shown to impact things like depression, blood pressure, and things like that. So I'd be a big fan of scrapping it.
And do you mean all those things for the day or as time carries on?
There will be a spike on the day, and then that spike will gradually fade away as we adapt our circadian rhythm, our body, our biological clock, you see. So there's a difference there between the chronological clock and the biological clock.
So are you then a fan of this new, well, it's probably not a fad to you, and I know it's brilliant. You were just talking there about the circadian rhythm of getting up and getting sunlight into your eyes straight away.
Yeah, I mean, it has many beneficial effects. It informs the brain of what time it is.
Okay.
So our biological clock needs to know the time. The trouble is, we're living now in a society where we're sitting indoors all the time, and we have regular temperature. Temperature is also key, and we have lights overhead, so our brain thinks it's midday all the time, right? So we have very specific light receptors in our retina, in our eye, that can detect morning light, afternoon light, evening light, and so that informs our body clock. So it's really, really beneficial. And also, we get lots of serotonin. Now, serotonin makes us feel happy in the moment, and it helps us produce the sleep hormone melatonin. Okay. Has your mother ever told you to get outside into the fresh air? And
yes.
It's good for you. You'll sleep great that night, right? Well, if you've ever been outside all day, now you know why you sleep so well, because we're getting there's lots of serotonin.
You also say take a vitamin D supplement. And in fact, 47% of Irish adults between 18 and 39 are deficient in vitamin D. Is that because of where we live?
Yeah, so like we have seasonal affective disorder. We're not getting enough light. And seasonal affective disorder is only present in latitudes north and south of 30 degrees, which is fascinating. Like, it's not present in the tropics seasonal because they're getting so much light. So we need to engage with light and with nature and with each other more.
Okay. Then what about shift workers, Tom? You know, there's a lot of perhaps younger people as well who might start in careers who are suddenly working lots of different shifts. How does that affect people?
It's highly disruptive. Okay. If you're on the same time shift all the time, i.e. say you're on a night shift, it's a little bit less disruptive. Like, we're not designed for that. We're diurnal, but our society lives off shift workers. Our healthcare system, our police, our streets, our food, everything is, so we it's the society we live in. We can't do without them, right? Mm. So it is highly disruptive, especially if they're asking their brain and body to switch between rotating shift patterns, because your digestive system has its own circadian rhythm. And we cannot change that two or three times a week and expect us to work well. Okay. So shift workers have to be very mindful of their decisions and be their days off. They should be really resting well and making up any sleep, if they have sleep debt accumulated, and looking after their food as well. I would say to keep your digestive system on a day shift, meaning don't eat between 12 midnight and 6 a.m. And this is what this kind of research tells us, right? So, yeah, very important for shift workers to be aware of the importance of rest and learn how to deal with the challenges, the certain challenges of shift work.
Okay, that's interesting. I know when I used to work in other places, I might be on a radio show till midnight and then wouldn't be able to sleep till 3 a.m. So that suddenly became my shift. But it's interesting what you said about eating, because I'd come home and just eat something. So I would stop doing that. Let's talk a little bit about teenagers and young people and sleep hygiene. We all know that, you know, it's this age old thing. You become a teen and suddenly you are sleeping hours and hours into the morning. Is that an okay thing, or should they be, no matter how many hours they sleep, be it 12, 14, whatever, should it be more routine that, you know, the weekends aren't spent sleeping in?
Ideally, yeah. I mean, look, the expert advice is that we go to bed at the same time and we get up at the same time.
Okay.
But that's not life, right? Because you know, life happens. Now, what happens with the teenagers? Interesting, because they experience a phasal shift, so they naturally want to go to bed later and get up later. That's within their physiology, right? Teenagers require more sleep. They require 10 or 11 hours a night because their brains are still really developing, and so are their bodies, actually. So, it's really important that teenagers look after their sleep and not allow technology to rob them of sleep, because there's such a host of important functions that are happening in terms of physical development, psychological learning, emotional regulation, all that is happening while you sleep. So if they can help it, I mean, look, we all could burn the candle at both ends when we were a teenager. We far more road, right? But you know, we should try and prioritize and not allow the devices or the tech to rob us of our sleep.
So just quickly before I let you go, if we do this hour forward that we're now in properly, you know, even people with young children, and they've gotten up at 5 a.m. instead of the usual 6, if we get back into a routine fairly quickly, we're okay, are we?
We're okay. You know, we're going to bed earlier and we're getting up earlier. Right. Okay. We will adapt. It just takes a little time.
Great. But if you're someone who doesn't have a sleep routine and gets into a sleep routine, what, you know, because we want instant gratification, what things will we see fairly quickly happen to us if we get that clean, hygienic sleep that we look for?
Oh, the currencies will go up. The currencies of time, energy, and presence. Yeah, absolutely. It impacts everything from your hormones, all of your hormones, to your immune system, to your energy levels, to your ability to repair muscle, to how youthful you look, your skin, your hair. Like,
you've got me sold now, Tom.
There isn't an aspect, because when is growth hormone secreted? 75% of it is secreted at night. Okay. And growth hormone is the elixir of youth, my friends. So stay young, beautiful and strong, and get your sleep.
You heard it from the expert himself. That is Tom Coleman. He is a sleep expert. As we head into summertime, we have that extra hour of daylight, but it could have a negative impact. If you want to get more details on what you can do, and even Tom has workshops and everything set up on his website, it's tomcoleman.ie for more details. And Tom, thanks a million for joining me on the Sunday Grill this morning.
Thank you very much for having me.
The Sunday Grill on Beat 102-103.
It's Beat 102-103. It's Easter Sunday. Brian has eaten a lot of eggs, so he's high spirited. Hello.
Full of beans.
Full of
jelly beans.
Cacao beans.
Is that
chocolate?
Cacao.
I think we only amuse ourselves.
I don't know. I think the millions of fans that send me fan mail every week about how great my movie reviews are would disagree.
On that show that they don't know the name of, with that presenter.
Then I only realised that the black puddings meant Sunday Grill after like 4 years of doing it.
That time I had to send you away. The Ghostbusters franchise returns with Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, when the discovery of an ancient artifact unleashes an evil force. Ghostbusters, new and old, must join forces to protect their home, and their home this time is New York City. They are back, thank God, and save the world from a second ice age. Now, it took me ages to do this bit. Are you ready? Is this another high-spirited movie from Ghostbusters, or is it time to send this franchise to the spirit realm? Damn. What do you think? I stole a bit of it from a newspaper article, to tell you the truth.
Oh, okay. Good.
Is that good?
I'm glad you stole it rather than coming up with yourself.
Will we listen to a clip?
Sure.
Let's do it.
I've been waiting 40 years for this. They called themselves Ghostbusters. According to these hacks, they saved the world. No eyewitnesses. And who is found to carry the torch? Descendants of Egon Spengler. You have a miner hanging out the side of a moving vehicle, firing a laser gun indiscriminately.
Has a proton pack.
It's completely safe.
I wouldn't say completely safe.
The Ghostbusters are finished.
Right. Well, overruled.
Sustained.
Thank you.
You the weird guy who buys strange old things?
Correct on both counts.
Buddy, you just hit the jackpot.
What is it?
Better question is, what's inside of it?
There you go. That is Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire. Paul Rudd, Finn Wolfhard from Stranger Things, of course, and lots of other people that you'll recognise in there too. Yeah?
Yeah, it's one of those movies where I did not look at anything. Like, I saw a bit of the trailer, like when I was watching another thing in the cinema. I was in the cinema a few weeks ago as well, obviously.
Mm, you were.
And I happened to do that. But I knew nothing going in, and there's people in this movie that I will not say are in it, because it was a surprise for me, and it was a very welcome surprise.
Okay, so we're not going to mention the comedian that's in it, no?
Yeah, I wouldn't mention him.
Okay.
I think he's a little fun and a surprise.
Yeah,
if you're a fan of him.
Yeah, and I am a fan of him.
Yeah, I saw him performing in Kilkenny, and now he's in Ghostbusters.
Wow.
He bombed in Kilkenny as well.
He
actually left his set early. And,
no.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
and everyone,
wow.
And everyone in the crowd was okay with it, because it just went so badly.
Oh,
and
because
he had one massive joke, and it kind of landed. It did, okay. And he needed it to really land. And then I was like, "Oh, this is really awkward."
Ooh.
And then I'll always remember Adam Hill, you know, from The Last Leg.
Yeah,
he came on afterwards and killed it.
Like,
because I thought, okay, this crowd is going to be so awkward.
Uh-huh.
He killed it.
Jeepers. Okay, so we can't mention who that comedian is.
I would.
Why aren't we mentioning it?
It's a nice surprise.
Okay,
it's a nice dude. It's
for
a dude
you.
I've never seen in a movie before,
and he's not in any of the trailers or anything.
No,
so it will be a surprise if you go to this. Okay, and not a surprise is that our I've said iconic an awful lot on the show this week for some reason, but our iconic Ghostbusters are in this, and it's set back where Ghostbusters should be, and that is Manhattan, and the car is there, all the things we would expect.
Yeah, it's one of those things, because there's a trend lately of just getting all the IP from old and all of the people, all the actors into it and whatever, but I don't know, there's something different about this, you know. It's like, it's obviously it's Ghostbusters and it's been around for like 40 years or whatever at this stage, but it's like there's something just so wholesome about it. It's like just innocent, silly fun. They're chasing ghosts. There's no like big old like plot that's like going to make you think.
Ghosts aren't massively scary.
Well, they're like intimidating.
Yeah.
But you're not like there's like maybe a jump scare or two.
Yeah.
But you're never like, oh, I'm coming out of this and I'm afraid. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
mm-hmm.
It's just you watch it and you enjoy it and then you leave. Do you know what I mean? It's just, I don't know.
Did you look forward to it?
It was because the last one that came out in was it 2021?
Yeah.
I thought was just brilliant. Like,
okay.
I've seen the other ones and I thought they were solid. But
okay.
I feel like it was a kind of a different, you had to be there to experience this. It's probably a case with comedies. Normally, like if a joke is done well, it's probably done to death in later years.
Mm-hmm.
So like I probably thought it was very simple because I've seen better versions of the joke like 20 years later. So that's just like not my fault. I wasn't born. But it's just what it reminded me of. Do you know the Scooby-Doo movies from the early 2000s?
Okay, yeah.
That vibe.
Okay.
So it's like just like...
Comedy.
Oh, there's a ghost. And
yeah.
It's like, oh, this is crazy. Why is there a ghost here?
Oh,
do you know?
Okay.
And
yeah,
it's
I like the idea of that.
And it's all about basically like being respected and I don't know. It's just it's so harmless. Do you know, there's no like...
Harmless is a terrible word.
I don't know. Well, I suppose harmless for like a world. But like it's such a different take on like this ghost one that takes over the world and it wants to make an army to attack everyone.
Can I ask you a question though?
Of
do you want to see another one? Or is this it? Should we put it into the spirit realm, as I said at the start?
I don't know, because I do think that it was like an easy watch.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that like the cinema was mostly full. And like I enjoyed it and I was there on my own because I've no friends. And But there was families there and they were enjoying it. And like I was laughing, they were laughing. There's jokes that go over children's heads, but there's also jokes that are like funny to children. Okay. So it's like it's kind of for everyone. Because like if you like the original one, you still have the original ones there and they still have that kind of like charm to them, and they still have that kind of silliness and goofiness to them. Like Bill Murray's in there and he's still being Bill Murray. Do you know what I mean? He's not obviously the star of it anymore, but
yeah,
he's in it enough and you can...
I read somewhere that people felt he was phoning it in a lot.
I feel like he has the same vibe. Like he's notorious for being on sets and he doesn't show up and he's not there, and it's only like Wes Anderson and Ghostbusters are the only things he seems to show up for. Like, so I don't know. I feel like it's probably one of those things where he's like, he's so beloved and he knows how much it means to people that he's like, he still has to do it even if he does. But like Dan Aykroyd lives for him.
You can
just tell. He like, even there's like just a moment where the car drives past this shop he has, and if she looks at the car, and obviously it's completely staged. I'm aware of how movies work.
Yeah.
But it's like he looks at it with such love. Do you know what I mean? And it's just like, I don't know. It's something kind of really wholesome about the whole thing, that like they're there and they've passed on the franchise. And
it's a 40-year franchise this year. 1984 is when the first Ghostbusters came out.
But what I find the most interesting, because when in 2016 there was a whole thing of like, oh, the women Ghostbusters, women can't be Ghostbusters.
Yes. Yeah.
And I was only when I was watching it, like I was thinking of this.
That bombed a bit, didn't it?
It did, but it was, I think it was because like they just didn't understand what it was. It's like, because half the Ghostbusters now are women and everyone's fine with it because it's they're having fun. It's not a,
and they're teenagers. Is that part of it as well?
Well, there's a mixture. Like Paul Rudd, everyone knows Paul Rudd.
Yeah,
like
Paul Rudd's not a woman.
He's not. Well, no. And like Philip Wilfire's there, but like McKenna Grace is kind of the main character in this, and she's 15 or 16 in it. But I don't know how old she is in real life. But she's fantastic. She's a fantastic actor. And it's like there's a good selection of people there. Like, and it's like, it's never an issue. It's never a case of, oh, there needs to be, like, everyone's represented. Like, Kumail Nanjiani is a massive role in this. And he seems to be like just a cameo in it, but then he ends up having a pretty solid role in it. So I don't know. It's such a nice cast of just kind of unproblematic people.
If you didn't have to go to see it for the Sunday Grill, would you have gone to see it?
I was looking forward to seeing
it. Okay. All right. Well, that's a good thing. And it lived up to your expectations.
It did. Like, it wasn't as good as the other one. I thought the other one was better, but I thought that was from a way like more wholesome view, because it was written by not Ivan Reitman, his son, but it was basically about the fact that like you're without your dad who was a Ghostbuster and he wrote and directed a movie and his dad was a Ghostbuster. Mm. So it's like it came from such a like in his like emotional place, whereas this one was like more of a, okay, that did really well, so we're making a sequel, but it still has that, I don't know, like...
Yeah, but it sounds like it went back to bases and it went back to where it came from.
And it didn't kind of stray too far, and they don't like try and like push too far away and be like, okay, we got to make everything this. No, because like the old characters still act the way they did. Uh-huh. The new characters act the way they do. Do you mean? So it's like a nice mix of everything.
Yeah,
so
good stuff. Let's black pudding it, so...
I give it like 7.6.
Okay,
not
too bad.
Yeah.
You've never 0.6'd it before.
I know, I was feeling crazy.
Okay, crazy, Brian.
Yeah.
It is rated 12A. Long, short?
It didn't feel long.
Okay.
I think it's only about 2 hours.
Okay. Only 2 hours. Anyway, we talk about that every week. 7.6 black puddings out of 10 for Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. 40 years of Ghostbusters. So a lot to see, but just one out in cinemas as we speak. Thanks a million, Brian.
No problem.
The Sunday Grill on Beat 102-103.